If the Super Bowl is an overhyped game played these days with more cameras and graphics and Roman mythology metaphors than actual players, then the modern halftime show has become a combination of pagan ritual, pop music reunion concert, and this year at least, an exercise video. Question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Rolling rings and belly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question. Beyonce's glittery biggest concert ever racked up some fierce utility bills before the power went out last night. She reunited with her old, they looked like they were still buddies, group Destiny's Child before a Pepsi-selected squealing rave pit and more than an estimated 100 million people watching. Beyonce is a decadent pinnacle from the humble halftime origins of marching bands. The University of Arizona Symphonic Marching Band did the first Super Bowl halftime show, a tribute to the Liberty Bell, back in 1967. It was all marching band tribute shows from then on. Mardi Gras and Dixieland jazz tributes in 70 and 72. Miss Texas played the fiddle in 74. Andy Williams had a cameo with a marching band in 1973. But then...
we have hundreds and hundreds of young kids from 40 states and 17 foreign countries presenting for you some of the greatest sounds in American history.
Up, up with people. Do you know that song? Has it been stuck in your brain since the 70s? Up with People, the wholesome-looking, androgynous, church-going aliens took over in 1976. They made their first appearance in 1971. Hey, they're good, clean, fun, all right? But almost immediately, Up With People were the halftime show for nearly a decade. Jonathan Mahler, New York Times magazine writer and columnist for Bloomberg View, says Up With People, in a way, illustrates a chapter in U.S. cultural history. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So Up With People, who were they, what were they, and how did they stick with the Super Bowl for so long?
The last one is a very good question, and it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense at this point in time. What they were was a group, a kind of traveling musical troupe of teenagers and 20-somethings that actually grew out of a group called the Moral Rearmament Movement that came about in the 60s to kind of counter the counterculture. You know, they were supposed to be, there was all the kind of cynicism and negativity was the message that the American youth was getting. And so this group was intended to kind of put a smile on everyone's face and send out positive vibes and positive messages about being an American youth in the late 60s. And, you know, it lived on into the 70s and became kind of a convenient counter to the sort of cultural malaise of the 70s and the Carter era. So that's what it was, and it ended up kind of joining up with the NFL partly just through coincidence, because one of the main executives at the NFL who was in charge of the Super Bowl happened to be on the board of Up With People, but also I think the NFL just liked the idea of a lot of smiling young kids out on the field singing positive upbeat songs.
Not a thought.
It seems crazy now, but
not a thought back then of Grace Slick playing the Super Bowl or the Rolling Stones back then. Who were the kids in Up With People, and where did they come from?
Yeah, they came from all over the country and all over the world, and you know, I think anyone who's old enough to have been around then and maybe gone to a public school then probably had them perform or one of their cast perform at their school or in their town, and kids would, you know, either graduate from high school and go off and join the cast, or they would take a year off from college and they'd really travel all over the world and give their concerts everywhere.
As an educational program, what went on with them, and what's the legacy? I mean, many people are sort of telling their stories of what it was like to be in Up With People, and you sort of write that it tells a story of a kind of closeted gay history of America as well as anything else.
You think about it, then and. You know, it was, of course, at the time, the message it gave off was one of kind of innocence and purity and really social conservatism. But you talk to the alumni, and they say that of course, the male population was heavily, disproportionately gay because, you know, these were guys who wanted to go out and be on stage and be dancing and singing, and it sort of worked out that way. So, and the other thing that's sort of funny about it is that they gave off this message of you know, real kind of virginal purity, but you know, these really were just for the most part kind of regular teenagers and 20 somethings, as I said. So, you know, behind the scenes they're singing these songs about you know, about God and about peace and sort of promoting these conservative values. And of course they're experimenting with drugs just like every other kid in the 60s and 70s.
And now Ray Lewis is praying on the field and Beyonce is doing some sort of a strip act in the halftime show. It's completely reversed.
Exactly. We've come pretty far from the days of Up With People in their turtlenecks and ties. Yeah.
Any remnants of the Up With People today?
I watching the halftime show, I really didn't see any. I mean, I think you put it well. It really was kind of more of an exercise video than anything else. I mean, there didn't even seem to be a whole lot of singing. I mean, they also, what Up With People would do was they would build their theme around something. So, for instance, they first played in 1976, and so their performance was all about the bicentennial. A number of years later, they played at the Silver Dome in Pontiac outside Detroit, and it was a tribute to Motown.
And they made it all the way to the 80s, Up With People did. So admire their longevity.
By that point, of course, the commissioner of the NFL, Pete Rozelle, had told his staff that there were three words that he didn't ever want to hear again: up with and people.
And we never hear them. John Mahler.
No, and now it's truly a blast from the past to think about it. And it's one of those things where you know, you remember it and then you think, that's right, what in the world was Up With People doing performing at halftime of the Super Bowl?
Well, thanks for answering that question. Jonathan Mahler is a New York Times Magazine writer and a columnist for Bloomberg View. Remember halftimes with Up With People? What do you think? 877-8-MY-TAKE. Weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear.